We're continuing with Eichor up to the third chapter. And this is the chapter that Yirmiyahu really composed after his first version of Eichor was burnt. So he added a chapter where the verses are shorter, but you have each of the Aleph Beis three times. And Yirmiyahu says, Ani ha-gever ra'oni b'shevet evrato. I'm the one who has to face it, says Yirmiyahu. Everyone else prophesies the destruction, and I'm the one who has to see it with my own eyes. I'm the one who sees more destruction than all of them did, because they all prophesied but didn't live to see it in the flesh and blood, and I did. Oti nahag vayolach choshech velo. Hashem led me to darkness, not light. Yirmiyahu never wanted to be a prophet. Hashem appears to him as a child and says, go, and if you don't, you're going to suffer. And don't be scared. You're going to say what I'm telling you to say, and you're going to stand up to people and say it. And his own family tried to poison his food. No one wanted to hear him. He's saying they're going to be destroyed. They didn't want to hear him. They called him a traitor. They tried to kill him. They threw him into a pit of tar.
Who burnt the book?
The king. Ach bi yashuv yafoch yado kol hayom. And I'm the one that he repeatedly smites, he repeatedly hits. Now, it's easier to learn this is about the people of Israel, but the simple reading is it's Yirmiyahu talking about himself. Yirmiyahu had a miserable life from the time he was a kid. He was sent to be a prophet, and every time, in the north they wanted him dead, in the south they wanted him dead, his own family wanted him dead, he had nowhere to go. That's why Yirmiyahu says, "Mitneni milon orchim." I wish I could be out in the desert. What am I looking for here in civilization? I tell them they're wrong. They're not interested in hearing. They only want me dead. Hashem says, "You keep at it." Yirmiyahu says, "I've gone a path of darkness, not light. I'm the one that keeps suffering." Bila v'sari ve'ori shibar. My flesh is completely destroyed. My skin is completely destroyed. I'm covered with leprosy, boils. I'm destroyed. I'm broken down to the bone. Bana alai vayakaf roshut la'a. Hashem, so to speak, laid siege around me. I'm surrounded with pain. Hashem has surrounded me, surrounded my city, and from all around I'm being fed poison. Be it Nebuchadnezzar who exiles Yehoyachin, be it Nebuzaradan who finished us off. I'm just, again and again, I'm being destroyed. B'machshakim hoshivani. Hashem put me as a hostage. Hashem put me in prison. I'm sitting in the dark, and I'm like, it's as if I was dead. It's like the people who have left this world. Gadal ba'adi ve'lo etze hichbid nechoshti. He surrounded me. The enemies are all around. I'm wearing shackles that are so heavy, there's no way I'm leaving. Yirmiyahu is describing the plight of the people. Gam ki ezak ma'ashaveya. Even if I yell, even if I call out, satam tefilati. He's sealed off. He's not interested in my prayer. So to speak, the windows of the heavens were closed. Chazal say that the sky we see is not the same sky as we had before the destruction. Chazal say there is a special blessing you made when you saw Shecheyanu, when you saw a clear sky. And the Gemara says from the day of the destruction, there was never again a clear sky. The sky, even when you think it's clear, after a rainy day, the clouds are gone. It's not the same clear sky that used to be. Satam tfilati. Chazal say there are windows in heaven through which the prayer enters. Every tribe has their window. All the windows were closed. Hashem says, not interested. Satam tfilati. Gadal dirachai bigazit. Netivotai iva. Hashem put fences throughout, all around my paths. Hashem destroyed the paths, so I'd have no way of escaping. Dov orev, orev huli, arib mistarim. Hashem is like a bear waiting in ambush. Hashem is like a lion in hiding. Derachai sorer, vayefasecheni, samani shomem. Hashem destroyed my paths. Hashem ensured that I would remain desolate. He put thorns throughout the paths. He made me vayefasecheni. Vayefasecheni means he made me take huge steps to try and get through, to pass over the thorns, etc. So, vayefasecheni is lefasech raglayim, it's to open one's feet wide. Now, you know that when you take huge steps, you're less balanced. You can more easily be thrown off. Darach kashto vayatziveini kamatara lachetz. Hashem pulled his bow and then held me firm as the target for his arrows. And now before we continue, we have to take a vote. Should we continue or pause here and switch to something else?
I just got here.
I feel you walked into something so depressing. He came off the plane to something so depressing. I'm not sure. This is an expression of your feelings. Amichai, what's your vote? Yeah? Okay. Okay.
We know you're the one. Everyone feels like a Yaakov feels like a change.
Hevi bechil yotai b'nei hashpato. He brought within my klayot, within my kidneys, the sons of his holster. The holster holds the arrows, so that's another way of saying he threw his arrows straight into my kidneys. Hayiti sechok lechol ami neginatam kol hayom. All the derelicts of my nation would always laugh at me. They're always talking about me. Chazal say, who are we talking about? That's what you find. The nations are always busy talking about us. How come the New York Times is so busy with us? There are bigger nations in the world. There's more to talk about. Chazal say, Neginatam Kolayom, they're always singing about me. Somehow I'm the focus of their conversation. Got nothing better to talk about? No, got nothing better to talk about.
So it's not that here's a prophet who's predicting doom and people look around and say, pretty fine right now.
So that's the simple reading of the pasuk. Right. The simple reading is it's Yirmiyahu talking about himself. Everyone's laughing at me. All they're doing is, did you hear the latest thing Yirmiyahu said? But Chazal also understood that these psukim were reflective of the state of the Jewish people at large. Yeah. Right, that's a different pasuk we saw earlier. That when we suffer, they're happy. There's nothing to talk about. No? Yeah. Hisbiani v'merorim hilvani la'ana. God satiated me with the bitter poison of the snake. God satiated me with bitter plants. La'ana is a type of a bitter plant. Vayagres mechatzatz shinai. Hashem broke my teeth with stones that were mixed into the food they would bake. The Navi warned them, the Navi forewarned them, prepare vessels because they're going to take you to exile and you're going to want to bake bread, you're going to want to make food, and they'll say, fine, do it on the earth. And you're going to end up having stones in your dough and then brighten your teeth as you eat your food. And that's what the Navi describes, Vayagres bechatzatz, Hashem broke my teeth with chatzatz, with the little stones that are in the dust. Hichpishani ba'efer. Hashem covered me with dirt. Just like when you take a cup of sand and you turn it over someone, that's Hichpishani, he covered me with dirt. Now, really, it should have said be'afar, with dirt. Ba'efer really means with ash. So, over here, it means, yeah, they were covered with ash. We broke our teeth and we were covered with ash. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi nashiti tovam. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi. So the simple reading here is that I wasn't even interested in peace anymore. I no longer asked someone, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? I lost all hope of good. Nashiti tova, I forgot that there's such a concept as good. My life was so bitter that I forgot that there exists such a thing as good. And I wouldn't ask people, how are you? Because there's no point in asking, how are you? I wouldn't ask myself, how am I? Because I forgot there exists an existence that's without pain. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi. I got sick and tired of asking myself how I'm feeling because there was no such thing as being at peace. Nashiti tova, I forgot there's a concept of being good. Yeah. Ah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
How is Yirmiyahu having nevuah if he's unhappy?
Excellent question. We dealt with it a few years ago. The Magid Mishnah or the Merkavet Mishnah and the Rambam asked that question. That's an excellent, beautiful question. We can't deal with it now. Maybe Thursday night. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi. Chazal tell us this pasuk is also the Shechina talking. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi, Hashem says, I leave when there isn't peace. And Chazal say this is referring to a person that doesn't leave any lights on for Friday night. So he's going to bump into things, his wife's going to bump into things, he's going to be all agitated, and they're not going to have shalom bayis. When a person's agitated, it's hard to have shalom bayis. One of the precepts, one of the basic elements you need in order to have shalom bayis is you have to be calm. If you're agitated, the Gemara says one of the prime causes for issues within peace in the home is problems in parnasa. There isn't enough food on the table, then you're going to have fights. It's at the end of the day when you have serious things agitating people, so that it's very hard to have peace at the home. That's why very often people have tremendous hardships. They have a child that has huge hardships. They have a parent that has huge hardships, and their marriage goes down the tubes. You say to yourself, couldn't you stand up to the challenge? Maybe they did. But at the end of the day, when people's nerves are on edge, it's hard to have peace. Chazal tell us this pasuk is a reference to a person that doesn't leave lights on Friday night. He doesn't light the Shabbos candles. So there's darkness in the house. That's this. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi. Hashem says there's no peace. I forgot the concept of peace. Nashiti tova, I forgot there could be anything good. You're not going to have anything good if there's dark in the house. Your wife could have made a 10-course meal, but it's just not going to be good. Well, why don't you wait till we finish and then we'll have time. Va'omar avad nitzchi v'tochalti mei Adonai. The literal meaning of the pasuk means I've lost eternity. I've lost all hope. Va'omar avad nitzchi. So the word nitzach could mean eternal. I said to myself, I've lost my world, the eternal world. Another understanding here is that I lost hope for eternal life. Meaning, we believe that the soul remains after the body goes. But when a person is suffering so much, he loses hope in that eternal life. Va'omar avad nitzchi, I said, I've lost my strength. Nitzchi could mean from the word linatzeach, to be victorious. V'tochalti me'ashem, and the good that I had hoped that Hashem would give me, I lost hope in that too. Zichor onyi umrudi la'ana varosh. Remember how I suffered. Remember how my enemies rebelled against me and they fed me, they gave me to drink the most bitter drinks. The enemies would stand along the road as we were leaving and offer us to sell us drinks, and they'd purposely poison those drinks. They'd purposely fill those drinks with salt. They'd purposely harm us as though we weren't suffering enough, being led naked into exile. Our own children, the people's children, were being sold into slavery, their wives, their daughters. Zachor tizkor v'tashoach alai nafshi. My soul remembers all my suffering, and so my soul prays over itself, so to speak, when I just think of it. Chazal tell us, Zachor tizkor. Hashem, I know you will ultimately remember. V'tashoach alai nafshi, but my soul is broken because the anticipation is so strong. The soul, so to speak, says, I can't wait that long. Zachor tizkor, I know you're going to remember, but how can I wait? And that already the Navi Habakkuk said when he witnessed the destruction. He said, how could I wait? I see the suffering. The suffering's real. And the hope, well, that's in the realm of hope. Zot ashiv el libi al keinochil. But this is what I tell my soul, and that's how I maintain hope. Chasdei Adonai ki lo tamnu, ki lo chalu rachamav. This is my hope. I know that God's kindness isn't finished. It's not over. I know His mercy isn't over, even though He's not showing us any of it. This is the comfort I tell myself. Chadashim labekarim rabba emunatecha. And every day you bring new miracles, and the faith we have in you is so great. Chelki Adonai amira nafshi. Alkein ochilo. My soul says, the portion I have in this world is Hashem. That's why I wait for Him. Now connect this with what we saw in the beginning of the night from the Netivot Shalom, that this is the theme of the Moed of Tisha B'Av. The Moed of Tisha B'Av is Chelki Hashem Amra Nafshi. You want to know what the pivotal point where the hope of Eicha lies? People think it's at the end of the book, right? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Noshuva. No! The Navi tells us in the middle of the book, how do I hold on through all this suffering? What do I tell myself? Chasdei Hashem ki lo tamnu. I know His kindness isn't over. Chadashim labkarim rabba emunatecha. And chelki Hashem amra nafshi. And now we're entering a small realm of hope where the Navi is going to describe, how do I hold out through all this suffering? Tov Adonai lekovav lenefesh tidreshenu. Hashem is good to those who hope for Him, for the soul that seeks out His teaching. Tov v'yachil v'dumam litshuat Adonai. It's good to hold out in silence until the salvation comes from Hashem. Tov. What? Silence, because if he's going to open his mouth, nothing good's going to come out. Tov lagevir ki yisa'ol bin urav. What's good for a person is to teach himself how to take on the responsibility, the yoke of the Torah when he's still young. That's in his best interest. You try doing tshuva when you're old. The Gemara says it's one of the most difficult things. Go tell a person, stop eating chazir. What do you mean? I'm used to ham for breakfast. Go tell a person he has to be faithful to his wife. What do you mean? What kind of life are you leading me to? Go tell a person you can't just go out and have a beer. You can't. You're going to have 9 days where you no meat, no wine. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you're held accountable. That's not a life. So Chazal tell us, from this pasuk, Yirmiyahu knew what he was talking about. He was saying, tshuva ain't an easy feat. You want to do tshuva? You have to do tshuva. But bring up your kids right, because it's not easy. It's very, very hard. Yeshev badad v'yidom ki natal alav. He sits alone in silence, hoping for the good. Because the one who controls the world decided that this is the life he's going to lead. And sometimes you don't have an answer why. A person can be hoping for Hashem. He could be good in waiting for the salvation. He could be one who took the yoke of Torah in his youth. And he has to realize, ki natal alav, because Hashem decided that's the way his life's going to play itself out. So that's one understanding. Another understanding is that this fine individual, when he finds himself suffering, sits in silence because he recognizes Hashem's running the world. Why is this happening to me? Well, Hashem is still running the world. But why is this happening to me? Because you're not perfect. And when Hashem helps a person attain perfection, so then he says, okay, I realize there's this aspect where Hashem says, even a good person, if he's done something that's wrong, I'm going to take it out on him in this world, so that when he comes to the world to come, ki natal alav. Hashem says, I want to take you to me, I want to bring you in clean. Now this is a very difficult concept. This involves really 15 minutes of introduction before we could go into this. And the question is, do you want it? This is a big concept in Jewish philosophy. What does that mean? We did it in the Sefer HaMidot. We addressed it. We addressed this concept. We addressed this also in Rav Nissen Gaon's Sefer Masiyot. The idea that one of the angles that Chazal gave us for understanding suffering in this world is this angle. That Hashem is giving it to those that are good so that they'll go to the world to come perfected, and that's very hard to swallow. So that requires a long class, but it doesn't seem like anyone's so interested in going off on that tangent, so check it out online. How many people want us to go on this tangent? No.
I'm interested in Yusuf's question.
Which one? How did he have prophecy when he was dead? Maybe we'll get there. I don't think we'll get there tonight. Yeah.
That everything that goes wrong is another signal to the tshuva. If you don't get the first one, then another thing goes wrong, and another thing goes wrong.
That has very strong basis in the verses. Yeah. Granted. Forgive me for... We're continuing. Pasuk Chaf Tet. Yitein be'afar pihu ulai yesh tikva. He puts earth in his mouth and throws himself before his master, before his creator. Maybe there's hope. And again, he's putting earth in his mouth because he knows if he allows himself to talk, he's not going to be happy with what he says. There are times like that in life. Yitein l'makehu lechi yisba b'cherpa. And he turns the other cheek and suffers in silence because he's a God-fearing person and he knows, I better be quiet. So we all know the Christians misinterpreted this pasuk completely. If you look at it in context, just, what are you saying? When the Christians say turn the other cheek, I say put dirt in your mouth. Because if you'll take this pasuk literally, take the previous pasuk literally. I don't understand. That's what he just said. He said, I put dirt in my mouth and I turn the other cheek. So what does he mean, I put dirt in my mouth? I put dirt in my mouth and I don't yell against my Creator, even though that's what I feel like doing. So I know I better not. So I put dirt in my mouth. I feel like yelling at my Creator and I don't. So when they hit me, I turn the other cheek. It doesn't even mean I turn the other cheek. It literally means I extend my cheek to be hit. That's what the pasuk literally means. It doesn't say to turn the other cheek. It says, Yitein lemakeyu lechi. He gives his cheek forward when he's being hit. Yisma v'cherpa. He accepts his shame in silence. This is the pasuk from which they say turn the other cheek, but that's not even what it says. It says, he yitain, he gives lemakeyu, to him who's coming to hit him, lechi, his cheek. That's what it says.
It sounds like he's giving up.
You have to understand what the destruction looked like. You're talking about a situation where they were facing a force that was formidable. They knew they didn't stand a chance. Look at the destruction of the Second Temple. The Romans didn't even send their full forces. They sent two legions. They were a force that was conquering the whole world. We hadn't had an army in 3 centuries. There wasn't an organized Jewish force, and we're taking on the biggest army that conquered the whole world. What chance did we stand? The rabbi said to the leaders, stop fighting, you're not going to win. They wouldn't listen. What? Who did it with the British? Who did it? People who were hunters, people who were fighting, and the British were fighting stupidly. Okay. That's true. At the end, okay.
The British were fighting stupid. The British looked at it like, we took it seriously, we won.
It wasn't us, by the way.
They're like, okay, fine.
That's what I think.
So it wasn't our hand that did it.
No, you're talking about Israel or the United States? I thought you were talking about the colonies. What are you talking about? That was a different story. We were under their domain and we kept doing guerrilla warfare, so it wasn't worth it for them to stay. Like the United States and Iraq. So the Iraqis want a war? No. No, it was a war. No, the Romans were coming with their forces and we went and thought we'd win them. No, we didn't stand a chance. So Yirmiyahu is describing the suffering. Yirmiyahu is describing the tremendous urge to yell against the Creator. And Yirmiyahu is describing that a God-fearing person can meet such suffering and nonetheless remain silent and force himself into silence and accept it out of the fear of Hashem, out of the recognition he's running the world. I don't have answers, but he's still running the world. Now we saw, according to the Targum, Yirmiyahu saying, I do have answers. But we went with Rashi, who says, he's running the show and I don't know. And one of the most phenomenal books in Jewish philosophy is Rashi on Eicha. It's an underrated, meaning people think it's just pshat, and really Rashi's giving a whole philosophy in his interpretation of Eicha, as we will see in a few psukim again. No, you could read it, but recognize that he's giving you much more than pshat. You'll see in a minute another pasuk where Rashi gives you a pivotal interpretation. First of all, we saw he didn't go with the targum on he suffers in silence. The targum says he suffered in silence because he knows he did some things wrong, so Hashem cleans him in this world. Rashi said he suffers in silence because he knows God makes decrees and he accepts it upon himself. This is a decree. What am I going to do? Rashi gave a totally different interpretation than the Targum. What? I don't think so. I that's not how I understand Rashi. No. Ki lo yiznach leolam Adonai. because Hashem will not leave us forever. Hashem is going to come back. And that's why it's good to be silent, because at the end of the day, Hashem is not going to leave us in their hands. Ki im hogam v'richam kerov chasadav. Because initially, Hashem breaks. The word hogah, you remember, goes back to that root of destruction that Yirmiyahu is repeatedly using in Eicha, the gimel, remember? Betulotai nugot, Hashem hogah, Hashem is destroyed, even if he brings suffering onto a person over his sins, but ultimately he will show his compassion as only he is able, with his great mercy and his kindness. Ki lo ina milibo vayage b'nei ish. Because, again, here you have two interpretations. Because he didn't initiate the suffering, because the suffering begins with the person not living up to his responsibilities. Lo inami libo. And here you have one interpretation. I'm sorry. Rashi goes with the Targum this time. Rashi says, Hashem isn't the one that initiates a person's suffering. It begins with his sins. Now, you have to understand this is a machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara brings the machlokas. Are there yisurim below chet? Does a person suffer without sin? Machlokas in the Gemara. Is there death without sin? Is there mitah below avon? So, this interpretation of the pasuk says, no, there is no suffering without sin. That's this interpretation of the pasuk. Again, you're dealing with a massive concept in Jewish philosophy. What does that mean? So if Mr. A wants to smack Mr. B, does he have free will? Could he smack him? But maybe he doesn't deserve it.
Okay.
So that's a machlokas in the Gemara on Binyamin ben Yaakov. So he doesn't have free will? When he wants to smack him, he doesn't have free will?
I'm saying that, like, he wants to smack him, but he can't do it to smack a guy because the other guy's like hero, right? So, but even if he's being like such a tzaddik, maybe like being like the tzaddik in front of this other person, it's like driving him wrong. So it's like he's causing an effect on that person.
Maybe he wants to smack him, not, he doesn't even know the guy. You don't have to say smack. You could say that this guy is very violent or a terrorist, and he's looking for a prey. He happens to find the first Jew he can find. It doesn't have to be personal.
Wait, but there is. I would think that there is in that.
I said this is a massive concept. Thursday night, Ezrat Hashem. Ezrat Hashem. Okay. I know, but if we don't do Eicha, who will?
Wait, isn't it online already?
Only the laning. We never got even this far, no. There's no class that I know of on the whole book of Eicha. If you want to learn Eicha, we are doing the class right now. I am unaware of another class out there that will cover the whole book of Eicha.
I thought over the years.
No, that's why he's pushing so much.